Oneness and unity being the nature and the character of God. Passage like the one that was just read from Jeremiah 32. Is not something that simply represents God's will, that it does. But it is a part of the entirety of the Almighty God. We do not look on oneness and unity in Jesus Christ as the scripture deals with it. Get this, the major theme of the entire Bible, that is from Genesis to Revelation, the major theme or subject is Jesus Christ. I need to repeat that. The entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus Christ. But then you might be thinking that, but Brother Mitchell, it is the New Testament that tells us about Jesus Christ. No, and yes, yes, the New Testament tells us about Christ, but also the Old Testament. And it's not that it just tells us about Jesus Christ. The entire Bible is about Jesus Christ, the entire Bible. Jesus Christ is the subject of the entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the Almighty God is clearing the way to bring Jesus Christ in the world. The prophecies of the prophets are about Jesus Christ. But then, Jesus Christ being the major theme of the Bible, one of the major topics our sub-theme of the Bible is unity and oneness. And that is missed. I repeat, one of the major subject or sub-theme of the entire Bible is oneness and unity. And this is often overlooked. It is part of God's nature, and it has been God's goal and objective for his people to be one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Let us hear the passage. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Start again. You don't have a mic. Okay, start again.
Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt
We're getting you a better mic, brother.
Hear,
O Israel. That is, listen, O Israel. The Lord
God is one Lord.
Is one Lord. You may say, oh, Brother Mitchell, that's a simple statement. No, this is stated against the background of polytheism. You see, when the Almighty God state this, Israel existed in a society that every nation had multiplicity of God. That's right, idolatry. So the Almighty God, starting out with the Israelites, wanted them to keep this in mind. Start again, brother.
Hear, O Israel.
O Israel.
The Lord our God is one Lord.
The Lord our God is one God. Read.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God.
You must love him.
With all thine heart.
With all thine heart.
And with all thy soul.
With all thy soul.
And with all thy might.
And with all thy might. And that's read on. Verse 5.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children.
That is including the oneness of God. Because God is a God of oneness. God's plan, God's purpose, God's objective, and God's working throughout the ages is for oneness and unity among his people. But this oneness and unity must be achieved God's way. The universal ultimate design or intent the universal ultimate design or purpose or intent of oneness and unity among God's people is under consideration in these passages. Look at Isaiah 2:2-4, 11:10-12, Jeremiah, not the passage that was read this time, but this time Jeremiah chapter 16, 19 and 20. Let us hear these passages.
Isaiah 2.
That was Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2-4. And then chapter 11, verse 10-12.
And it shall come to pass.
And it shall come to pass.
In the last days.
In the last days.
That the mountain of the Lord's house.
Watch here, ladies and gentlemen. This was some 700 years before Jesus Christ. And the passage, which many of you are well acquainted with, is about the oneness of God that he wants among his people. It shall come to pass in the last days
that the mountain of the Lord's house,
the mountain of the Lord's house,
shall be.
Notice it's not houses. The Lord's house shall be
established in the top of the mountain,
on the top of the mountain,
and shall be exalted above the hills.
The Lord's house shall be
exalted above the hills,
above the hills,
and all nations shall.
Now here is the oneness again. All nations shall
flow unto it.
Flow unto them.
Unto it.
Is one large house. Notice all nations But the multiplicity of nations does not necessitate the multiplicity of houses for the Lord. It's one house, the Lord's house. Read on.
And many people shall go and say,
many people shall go and say,
come ye.
Come ye.
And let us go.
Wait. Notice the let us. That is a coming together of all the people as one. To go up to the Lord's house. Come ye. Read.
Let us go up to the mountain.
Let us go up to the mountain.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
To the house of the God of Jacob.
To the house of the God of Jacob.
And he will teach us of his ways.
Notice again, he will teach us of his
ways.
Of his ways.
And we will walk in his paths.
You notice, it's not I will and you will. It is a oneness. We will walk in his
path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law,
mm-hmm,
and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares.
They says there will not be dissension and war anymore. Their weapon of war and dissension and division shall be turned into a weapon of peace. That is chapter 2.
Yes.
Let us hear 11, 10, and 12 now. Of the same Isaiah.
And in that day.
In that day.
There shall be a root of Jesse.
Uh-huh.
Which shall stand for an ensign of the people.
Uh-huh.
To it shall the Gentiles see.
An ensign is a signal. To which what, brother?
To it shall the Gentiles seek.
Now here the Almighty God is telling us that one day the Gentile is going to be a part of his family. Read.
And his rest shall be glorious.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass in that day,
uh-huh,
that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people,
uh-huh,
which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt.
Here is the Almighty God gathering his people from all over and bringing them where they will be one. Let us hear another passage, Jeremiah 16, 19 through 20. Where we are now in the lesson is that oneness and unity among God's people is the subject under consideration in these passages. Let us hear Jeremiah 16, 19 through 20.
O Lord.
O Lord.
My strength and, mm-hmm, my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction.
Uh-huh.
The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth.
Wherever the Gentiles are, they will come to accept the Almighty God as their God. That's oneness. You won't have just the Jews serving God. You'll have the Gentile also serving God. Read on.
And shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies,
mm-hmm,
vanity, and things wherein there is no profit.
Mm-hmm.
Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods?
What it is hitting at here is idolatry. When men worship things instead of God. Now, take a passage that has come up over and over here, and that is Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13 through 18, listen the passage as it is read.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off.
Now in Jesus Christ, As you all know, the word ye means you. You were once far.
Are made nigh.
You are made near.
By the blood of Christ.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
For he is our peace.
Jesus Christ is our peace.
Who hath made both one.
Who have made both
one.
That is Jews and Gentile. You see, God doesn't like division. God doesn't like contention. God doesn't like variation. So he's going to make Jews and Gentile one. That's what the passage is about. Read on.
And hath broken down the middle wall of partition.
Broken down the middle wall
of partition.
Of partition.
Between us.
Read on.
Having abolished in his.
Having abolished in his.
Flesh.
Flesh.
The enmity.
The enmity. That which stood between the Jews and the Gentiles. The law system. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he removed that.
Amen.
God has been planning for that from man's sin. Wait. Sorry. Before man's sin. That is to bring Jews and Gentile together as one. Because God is a God of oneness and unity. Wait. There are a lot of things that you and I feel satisfied with, and we are complacent in it. We sort of don't see it as anything big. That is totally against God's nature. The environment of religious division that we live in today. Every day a man becomes a founder of a church. And it usually has some characteristic that have nothing to do with God's word. And because of the environment in which you and I live, we just see it as, in fact, many of us see it as a wonderful thing. But God, God's very nature is against that. And all the passage of Ephesians, in fact, in a few minutes, I'll be showing that the passage of Ephesians has as its background Isaiah chapter 57. But we are coming to that. Don't go to that yet. We are still in Ephesians.
Having abolished in his flesh.
Having abolished in his flesh.
The enmity.
The enmity.
Even the law of
commandments. Even the law of commandment.
Contained in ordinances.
That contain, comprise of ordinances.
For to make in himself of twain.
To make, here again, is this theme that is in keeping with God's character, God's nature. Here we are told that he has made out of both. Now both is more than one. But you see, God is a God of oneness. So he was looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ would come. And the both, Jews and Gentile, will no more be Jews and Gentile. But one, that is the church. But he's taking up the theme again. We have just read that, I think it was verse 14. The brother is somewhere at verse 15 or 16 now. Let us hear it.
For to make in himself of twain.
To make in himself.
Of twain.
Wait. He has just said this. In about verse 14. And he's saying it again. To make in himself. Of the twain. Brother Mitchell, what does it mean twain? Two. What he's going to do with the two?
One new man.
One new man.
So making peace.
So making peace. You see. Brothers and sisters, oneness and unity. Wait. I pointed out, and many of you remember, that the one new man here is not talking about the individual Christian. The one new man here is talking about the church. Remember that. The one new man here is talking about the church of Christ. That's what it means in this passage. He's going to make out of Jews and Gentiles, that's twin, of the twain, again, one new man. Of the two. He doesn't want division. It is against God's character and God's nature. But we are content with division. We don't see anything wrong in multiplicity of churches. It is against the will of God. He's going to make out of the two one new man. The new man is the body of Jesus Christ, the church of Christ. What verse are you, brother?
At the end of 15.
Read on.
And that he might reconcile both.
And that, have you noticed that the Bible use both in about verse 14 and 15? The Bible use twain in verse 15. And here the Bible again, does it use both again, brother?
Yes.
What he's going to do with both?
Reconcile both.
Both.
Unto God.
And to God.
In one body by the cross.
Y'all get that? We are talking about that God is a God of oneness and unity. It is not just God's will. It is a part of God's nature. So when he started out with the Israelite, he served them. Notice when he told the Israelite that they should not be guided by the multiplicity of God, that they see and think that he's many, he's but one God. And God is telling us that he may reconcile, that is both Jews and Gentiles,
in one body.
How many?
In one body.
And God can count. When God says one, he means one. In fact, well, I may take that up again because I read on a little further, brother.
In one body by the cross.
In one body, remember, in one church. We continue to remind ourselves that the Almighty God was not willing to save the Jews and the Gentiles in two churches. And you and I must never be misled in thinking that God is going to save the world in our time in 200 or 300 different churches. He's not. And these passages are uttering and echoing God's truth. That is not, he was not willing to save Jews and Gentiles in two churches because it is not only against God's will, it is against God's nature. He's going to save Jews and Gentiles in one church. Wait. It doesn't mean that all of God's people will meet for worship at one place. That's not what it means. What it means is that wherever God's people meet, they will believe the same thing. They will preach the same thing. They will practice the same thing. They will live the same life being guided by the gospel. They will be one in Jesus Christ. That means wherever in the world God's people meet, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be the foundation of oneness in Jesus Christ. But note this, he's not going to save I'm getting down to that further in the lesson if I get to that today. God will never save the world in a Baptist church, Methodist church, Anglican church, Church of Christ, Seventh-day Adventist. Why? That is totally against God's nature and will. That's right. We must find, therefore, the body of Christ and become a part of it. Read on. You're somewhere about 17, 18. Ephesians chapter 2.
Verse 16.
16.
Having slain the enmity.
Thereby.
And came and preached peace to you which were afar off.
That's the Gentile.
And to them that were nigh.
And to them that were near, that's Jews. But watch here now. Both Jews and Gentile needed to be at genuine peace with God. So notice the peace that was preached by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the gospel was not just to the Gentiles who were far, but the peace was also to the Jews who were near. They too need Jesus Christ. Wait. That you and I are traveling to Old Abba because we need to be there. That you are 10 miles from Old Abba and that I am 20 miles doesn't mean you who are 10 miles, you are where you are to be. That's right. You might be a little closer than I am, but you have not yet reached where you are to be. The Jews, with the Ten Commandment law, the Sabbath, they were not where God wanted them to be. May I? And they could never be there until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's right. So even though they were a little closer than the Gentiles, they were still away. So Jesus Christ and the gospel was meant for Jews and Gentiles. He came and preached peace to those who are what, brother?
Which were afar off.
Far, Gentile.
And to them that were nigh.
And to them that were close, Jews.
For through him we both have access
again, the boat. But you see, the Almighty God is not satisfied with the boat. You get the point? God is aiming towards one. That's God's goal and objective. Since when, Brother Mitchell? Before the world was created. That's right. Passage like Ephesians here is so worded as to show us that this oneness and unity has been God's goal and objective throughout. As I've said, before the world was created. Every and any attempt to justify or be a part of religious division is an attempt to undermine and to attack that which has been God's goal and objective throughout all generation, to bring his people to be one. Did you get that statement? Let me make it again. Any and every attempt to justify and to be a part of religious division, that is, be done by you or by me, where we try to show that religious division is quite in keeping with God's word. I'm not going to be able to deal with that in this section of the lesson today. That is, Satan has come around because Satan loves division. Jesus Christ has shown that religious division is one of the greatest hindrances to the gospel. A passage that I'm aiming for us to get to before I'm through in today's lesson, where Jesus Christ prayed for unity in the book of St. John 17. We're not going to read it right now. And included in that prayer is that when God's people are united as one, the world will believe that we belong to him. And in effect, Jesus Christ was saying division and dissension and disunity is an effective weapon against the progress of Christianity. So this is why I point out here that every and any attempt for you or me to justify religious division or to be a part of it, when we do that, we are literally attacking and undermining the very nature of God and God's plan and purpose. Because it is not God's will that his people be divided. One of God's focal work and objective in Christ is oneness. In fact, let's turn to it since we, St. John 17, verse 20 through 21. Let us get it.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee.
You hear? That all of my people will be one. In the same way, Father, there's no dissension in you and me. When I am at work, you are at work. What I believe, you believe it. What I am, you are. That's the way, Father, I'm praying that your people be. This is not something new, you know. This has been a part of God's plan throughout, from before the world was created. May I? As I've said, the background to Ephesians chapter 2 is found when Paul in that passage speaks so much about peace and peace and peace. Isaiah had prophesied about that. Let us hear a little of Isaiah chapter 57, 19 through 21. Quick.
I create the fruit of the lips. Peace to him that is far off.
You notice here? Peace to him that is
far off.
That is referring to the Gentiles or the backsliding Israelites. Read on.
And to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea.
The wicked are like the troubled sea.
When it cannot rest.
That cannot rest.
Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace.
Here again, the subject of peace. Because without unity, there can be no peace. God wants peace among his people. What verse is that? 21?
Verse 21.
Read.
Save my God to the wicked.
There is no peace, God says, for the wicked. But then, when a man or a woman becomes a child of God, you give up wickedness. And God put our wickedness behind, that is, forgive us for them through the blood of Jesus Christ. What must be kept in mind is this. Before Babel, as recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 11, there were neither Jews nor Gentiles. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, say that again. before the Tower of Babel, or Babel, whatever way you pronounce it, this division that we see, you didn't have that. Division, sectarianism, scattering, negative diversity grew out of sin. Let me repeat. Before the Tower of Babel, there were no Jews and Gentiles. You would not find that distinction anywhere before Genesis chapter 11. That's one. Two. Division, scattering, sectarianism, negative diversity grew out of sin. Let us hear from verse. That is Genesis chapter 11. Because you see, what you're going to notice, the Almighty God going to start the wheel a rolling for oneness among his people in Abraham's and Abraham's seed. That we will pick up in chapter 12. But in chapter 11, man's ambition. We always need to guide our ambition. You didn't know that? Because we will trample on every rule and on every principle sometime to achieve what we want. And we have to watch that. A lot of time we will lie, we will cheat, we will kill. You ever consider that the crime rate? How many of you will ever think that it has to do with ambition? Ambition. You see, I have my turf, where I sell my drugs. I want more money. I have a lot, but I want more. That's ambition. Greed. And if I feel threatened by you, I'll kill you. At the workplace, we are worker, and the mine are the worker. Lie on them and set them up. It's the same ambition thing. So we have to watch it. It was ambition and the sin that accompanies it that put in these people, let us build a tower, a skyscraper to reach heaven. Where you are, reach heaven for like that. Let us hear it. Chapter 11, verse 1 through 9.
And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
That, you see, that's unity. That's the way God made it. That's right. Huh? Don't you know that communication is one of the problems we have today? When we speak and don't understand each other, all sort of turmoil comes. Huh? It happens in the home, in marriage, in the family, at the workplace. Communication. That's right. Well, the Almighty God had made one language. You know, that there would be better understanding. Read, brother.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
As they journeyed from the east.
As men and women journeyed from the east.
That they found a plain in the land of Shinar.
They found a plain in the land of Shinar.
And they dwelt there.
And they dwelt. They decide to settle there, a settlement. Read on.
And they said one to another.
They said one to another.
Go to.
Go to.
Let us make brick.
Let us make brick.
And burn them thoroughly.
And burn them thoroughly. You notice the wisdom that God put in man. Then you even then. In the beginning of time of humanity, that by burning the clay, it becomes brick and can stand a lot of pressure. The fire does that to it. Way back then, they know that.
And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar.
You hear them are mortar. They are stone, the brick. Read on.
And they said, go to. Let us build
up a
city.
Wait now. It's ambition, you know. They decided, this is a way we can make brick, you know, to make what we want out of it. It will be square, it can fit, etc. So that was accomplished. But then, you know, I've always said, truly, what the drug landlord in Escobar, that's right, when I read about Escobar years ago, I said, when a man has so much million, why doesn't he give up the drug business and settle down and enjoy it? But we are not like that. Unless you have Jesus Christ's word to guide you. It matters not how much you get, you want more. So they build brick, build houses so that they and their family. No, they want to reach heaven. Read, brother.
Let us build us a city and a tower.
Let us build us a city
and a tower. Whose top may reach unto heaven.
That will reach. You see skyscraper now? Well, the thought started from way back then. That's why one of the man, Solomon, said that there is nothing new under the sun. That's right. Read, brother.
And let us make us a name.
And let, you hear again, ambition. We want to leave our landmark here on earth. Let us build us a name.
Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
Lest we be scattered abroad. Read on.
And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do.
You all hear that? Nothing that the mind imagine will be restrained from them. They will let their ambition take them to heights that is not in keeping with God's plan for them. That's right. So the Almighty God, read on, brother. What verse are you?
That was 6.
Read on.
Go to. Let us go down and there confound their language.
Wait. You see, while we pass it, you see the Trinity? Let us. Thus. The personality in the Godhead addressing each other. Let us go down. We refer to this as the anthropomorphism of God, where the Almighty God depicts himself as having human quality. Let us go down and do what?
And there confound their language.
The Almighty God doesn't have to come down to confound man. You understand? But it is so worded. And confound their language. You see, read.
That they may not understand one another's speech.
You hear? And it is out of this. You see, it is the ambition of the antediluvian generation to build city to reach heaven that caused the Almighty God to give them different language to confuse them. They couldn't speak to one another. Read on.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence from the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city.
You see, God defeated them. Brothers and sisters, before before we go on, and it's time to stop. Oh, my God. Yes, you know, the Almighty God have so many options to work against us when we are going against his will. And we must be mindful of that. Here the Almighty God in his own way give man multiplicity of language to create confusion. Watch it. That confusion grew out of man's ambition that would ultimately lead to all sort of sinfulness. Are we there? So now, the Almighty God, this was chapter 11 we have just read. The Almighty God going to start the process now in which human being will be united in Jesus Christ. He's going to call Abraham. And he's going to make the descendant of Abraham witness of his. That would bring Jesus Christ into the world. But we cannot go to this passage and others today because time is up. There are a lot in the second part of this lesson, some very important passages that we need to be mindful of. Some of them are passages that we have been hearing about. Passage like Ephesians, which was read, is a passage that we have been reading and whatever. And we may not see in that passage that this passage was telling us of God's ultimate plan to bring humanity together in Jesus Christ in the church. That's right, oneness. We must never forget when the Almighty God saved the nation of Israel, he saved them as one nation. One nation with one form of worship. 12 tribes, yes. But the 12 tribes did not have 12 different worship. All the Israelites worship the same way. And that same way is recorded in the book of Leviticus. When the Almighty God saved Noah and the other 7 souls, he saved them as one family. Because God is a God of oneness. We justify and we are content with this unity. Dissension, division among God's people. We think it is the norm. Satan wants us to think like that. And Satan has even come up and coined a phrase that sounds good to us. Unity in diversity. You hear it all over in the denominational world. It is used as if it is sent from heaven. But that phrase is really from Satan and hell. Because God's unity has in it a sameness. We will get more into that next week, and we will get more into the fact that God's very nature and character is oneness, oneness, oneness. We must never attack God's nature and God's purpose and plan for oneness by justifying religious division or being a part of it. There is no allowance in God's plan to save man for multiplicity of teaching and doctrine, multiplicity of church, different kind of worship. There is no allowance for the Almighty from God for that. We're encouraging you to be here next week and bring a friend as we pick up. We are out of this dissension and this unity and confusion. Brother Webb and myself used to communicate. Now him hear me talk, him no understand what me I say. Brother Bean and Brother Myrie used to communicate. Now both of them are talking. None can understand the other. Brother Bean have to find himself way at the back of the church to find somebody who understands what he's saying. Yet God did this, but that grew out of sin. Right here in Genesis. There are so many things in the lesson. The oneness in God's revelation, it has one author. 40 different writers. But one author. God. Bring somebody with you next week so that, because you see, religious people out there believe that you have your church and I have mine. My God, that is totally against God's will. We get more into this next week, but today, as I close, remember, if you are here and if you are not a child of God, if you are not a Christian, if you are not a part of Jesus' body, his church, he has only one. That's right, you remember? I'm going to save both Jews and Gentiles in one church. Of the twin, that is of the Jews and Gentiles, two, he's going to make one. Make sure you're a part of that one true church. Today, you can be true faith in Christ, true repentance from sin and ungodliness and worldliness. A willingness to confess Jesus Christ's name as Lord, as Christ, as the Son of God. And a willingness to submit to water baptism for the removal of your sin. Today, as we stand up to sing a song, it is a good chance for you to step forward and give Christ your life. If you are here in the audience having been a faithful Christian but grew weak and faithful, or you have backslidden, you have given up totally, there is no better time than now to come and give your life to Christ. Christ wants us to be one in him. We become Christian the same way, we believe the same thing, we preach the same thing, we worship the same, yes. That is God's plan. As strange as it sounds to so many, that is God's plan. Let us stand as Christ calls you.